Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. We are thankful to have the opportunity to bring to you, after 30 years of broadcasting, the reassuring message of God's free and sovereign grace. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Pray as we go forward together this morning into God's Word. Please stay tuned for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.
Good morning, my friends. This is Michael Green, Jr., Assistant Pastor of McClenny Primitive Baptist Church, and I want to welcome you once again to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. It is always a privilege to be with you, and we want to take a moment and invite you to come and worship with us at McClenny Primitive Baptist Church this Sunday morning at 10:30. Again, we're thankful for everyone that has tuned in to be with us, and do want to encourage you, if you are in our area, to come join us as we try to preach the wonderful doctrines of God's Word. I also want to remind you of some of our other outreaches. We are available on the internet at mcclennypbc.com, and when you get to that page, you can find a number of sermons on a number of different subjects, and you can also reach us via Facebook. Brother David Crawford has been preaching a series of messages on the book of Revelation, and those are done live every Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. But if you go to that Facebook page, you can watch those messages later if you're not able to be with us at that time. This morning, I want to continue our study on the doctrines of grace. And when I started speaking here on the Gospel of Grace broadcast, it was my desire to look at some of those basic foundational doctrines. And as we conclude these messages on the basic doctrines of grace, I want us to speak on the subject of the preservation of God's people. And this is very near and dear to my heart because it draws me back to an experience that I had as a child that to a child was pretty traumatic to me. As I was about 5 years old and not really grounded in the truth, probably as grounded as any 5 or 6 year old would be. But I remember turning on the television one morning and there was a preacher on the television that was preaching on the subject of hell. And I remember his message distinctly. His message was this: are you really saved? And I remember listening to this man speak and coming away from his message really being terrified, because as I got older and understood what he was trying to communicate and trying to make sense of that, this man was teaching that an individual, a professing believer in Jesus Christ, could lose his eternal life, or perhaps never had eternal life at all. And I'll be honest with you, my friends, that traumatized me as a young child. But I'm thankful for God's mercies, and I'm thankful for sound teaching later on that helped correct that misconception in my mind. And that truth is this: that all of God's people are preserved in Christ Jesus. And I hope that we'll look at a few passages here in a few minutes that will support that. But my friends, I want you to understand our God is consistent. My friends, our God does not change his mind. Whatever our God purposes to do, that will come to pass. And I'm thankful in the realm of eternal life, and hearken back to the other messages that we spoke on, the one that chose us in his Son before the foundation of the world, the one that sent his Son into this world to shed his blood for our sins, the one that drew us unto him, is indeed the one that keeps us and preserves us. Our God does not change. And my friends, that's the only hope that we have in this world that we live in today. One thing that made me fearful as a young child when I heard this misguided notion as far as losing your eternal life was that I knew even at a young age that I messed up, that I was a sinner, that I fell short on a daily basis. But I'm thankful that we serve a God that is consistent. Oh, my friends, aren't you thankful for that in the days that we live in today? There's so much change around us. I mentioned to our folks a couple of weeks ago at church that there's a lot of change that's difficult. And there's positive change that we hope for that sometimes never comes. But my friends, there's a whole lot of negative change in this world, isn't there? There's individuals and institutions that are always trying to change the fabric of our society and our culture. And my friends, there is change that's good, but then there's a lot of change that's not so good. And it seems like that there are things that are always changing around us. We see changes in our culture. We see changes in our religious institutions. And when we take an honest assessment of ourselves, we see that we're constantly changing as well, for better and for worse. I hope that we always strive to make changes in our lives that are better, that improve us. But the reality is sometimes change is for the worse. Sometimes in our carnal natures we change in such a way that we stray from the precious truths of God's Word. I want you to understand this morning, my friends, in spite of all of the change that goes on around us, that our God, He is consistent all the time. He is always right, He is always good, and He's always consistent. And I'm thankful that we indeed are preserved in Christ Jesus. I'm thankful that the work of salvation is all of God. Sometimes people will ask the question, will all of God's children, will all of God's elect be saved? And my friends, I can answer with 1,000% confidence that yes, indeed. Remember, Jesus said in John chapter 6 that all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. My friends, people talk about the plan of salvation. This is the truth of salvation. This is the truth that our God saves his elect from their sins, and all that he saves he will not cast out. My friends, our salvation is sure. It is sure because it was done before the foundation of this world, and it is secure not based on our merits, not based on our works, but based on the work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have that evidence in Luke chapter 1. You remember that with John the Baptist, as Elizabeth heard Mary and the salutation of Mary, he leapt in the womb. We know that because he was filled with the Holy Ghost. The psalmist David writes that in the womb he hoped, or when he was on his mother's breast, he hoped on the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter 1, we have a similar context where Jeremiah says, before, speaking of God, he says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations. Over and over again, we have these glorious truths. I think of David, and David losing a son. David had committed murder and committed adultery, and the son that was born in that adultery died. But David understood that though that son was dead, that he was going to go to that son some sweet day. Again, all that the Father giveth me, Jesus said, shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Again, I want to spend the time that we have this morning speaking about this wonderful truth. I'm thankful that I can come, again, with full confidence of where we as children of God will be when we leave this world. Whether we close our eyes in death, and the reality is we've seen a lot of death this year. In the midst of this pandemic, we've seen a lot of individuals that have left this world. And in my situation, I've seen an incredible number of individuals that I know and love that have passed on, and either directly or indirectly due to the pandemic. But I'm thankful that I know where God's children go. And theologically speaking, when we want to make a distinction about where God's children go, or the security that we have as the Lord's people, there's a couple of terms that are used to speak about this. The general term is referenced as eternal security. And we as Primitive Baptists, as we as those who strive to adhere to the truth of God's Word, we believe in eternal security. Now, this is in contrast to the idea that we have to maintain good works in order to earn our heavenly home, or in order to keep or secure our heavenly home. And there's another term that's used to describe this, and this term is perseverance. Now, I think that there is a place in God's Word for us as God's people to persevere, but it's in distinction to being preserved in Christ Jesus. And again, there's this idea amongst many religious circles that in order to finally be saved, we have to maintain good works. We have to be careful not to fall away from God. We have to be careful that all of our actions are in line with Scripture, with biblical principles, or we're at risk of losing our eternal life. Well, I want us to look at God's Word, and one great place to turn that gives us a distinction between being preserved in Christ Jesus and maintaining good works comes from Jude, the book of Jude. So if you have your Bibles and want to turn there, in Jude 1, we have this wonderful truth that's referenced here about preservation. So turn to Jude 1. It's easy to navigate because there's only one chapter in this book. But verse 1 says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, verse 2, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Jude writes to God's people, and we know that this is God's elect because he's speaking to those, he says, that are sanctified by God the Father. And then he uses this theological term that we've already referenced, and he says that they are those that are preserved in Christ Jesus and called. The word preserved there is significant because this speaks about their eternal standing in Jesus Christ our Lord. The word preserved, it means that they're kept. It means that they are protected. It means that they are sure. It means that they are in the Lord and nothing can remove them. What a wonderful blessing to understand this beautiful truth. And as God's people, that's the truth, that we are preserved in Him. And aren't you thankful that He is the one that has done the work to save us and deliver us as God's people? All, again, as we started out this message this morning, that the Father giveth Him shall come to Him, and He shall in no wise cast out. That's the assurance that we have, because what we understand about our natures, if we've taken a true assessment of who we are, we understand that we do indeed continually fall short on a daily basis. We mess it up. But I'm thankful that our God didn't leave salvation up to us to secure, to leave it up to us to get it finally worked out in the end. Jude says here that we are preserved in Christ Jesus. Now, someone may say, well, if this is true, then why do good works? Why try to live a godly life? Why not just live any old way that we want to? Well, we understand as children of God, because of His work in our lives, we have this desire to serve Him. Notice what Jude goes on and says in verse 3. He says, Beloved, when I gave diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. He's encouraging them in godly behavior. He's encouraging them to follow the Lord. Now, I want you to understand, contrary to what some critics will say about the doctrine of preservation or the doctrine of eternal security, in actuality, for a child of God, this is a motivating factor to better serve the Lord, to be bold in our discipleship, to serve Him in the midst of adversities and difficulties. And Jude was writing to encourage them to contend, to fight for the faith. Why? Because their faith is sure. My friends, we fight for those things that we believe in, don't we? If our faith was merely just a wishy-washy faith or a maybe faith, we wouldn't fight, would we? But when we understand that our faith is sure, we're emboldened and we're empowered to earnestly contend with it. Now, going on in this passage, Jude warns in verse 4, he says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men," says, "turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ." Boy, that sounds familiar in the days that we're living in today, doesn't it? Those that are creeping in, again, those that are making changes or trying to make changes that are not good changes. Well, there's nothing new under the sun, my friends, and this was going on during the time of Jude's writing. And we see in verse 5, he says, "I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not." So he speaks here of our God and our God and all of his power, and our God that does not wink at sin, that does not overlook sin, but the God that's going to deal with the sinful actions of the men of this world. My friends, aren't you thankful to know that in light of all of that, we are preserved in Christ Jesus? If you go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18, as the Apostle Paul is writing to the young minister Timothy, who we notice in Paul's letters to Timothy, he was going through lots of trials and lots of difficulties. And the Apostle Paul, he says in verse 18 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says this, "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." As he writes this wonderful letter of encouragement and admonition to Timothy here, he wraps things up by saying, "It's the Lord that shall deliver me from every evil work." Now, I want to ask you, what's more comforting to you, child of God? The misguided notion that perhaps you're not able to finish the job that God started and you're going to be condemned to hell? Or the idea that maybe because you sin and you fall short of God's standard, that you, in your sinful nature, find yourself oftentimes on the wrong side of God's word, that perhaps you were never a child of God to start with? No, there's no comfort at all. There's no hope at all in that. But child of God, the hope that we have is that our Lord shall deliver us from every evil work, and he shall preserve us unto his heavenly kingdom. This was the hope that the Apostle Paul had. This was the hope that Jude spoke of as he tried to encourage God's people that were living in dark times. And this is the hope that we have, my friends, as God's people. Paul had no help in the midst of his difficulties and adversities during this time. He would say that no man stood with him. He said that all men forsook him. But, my friends, the Lord stood with him. The Lord strengthened him. And again, in this verse, he says, "The Lord shall deliver me." The word deliver means rescue me from evil, every evil work. And he says, "He will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom." The word preserve literally means to save, to do well, to make one whole, to heal. And that's the wonderful truth of God's word. In preservation, it's the Lord making us whole, the Lord healing us, the Lord saving us. And that's what he's done for us. And that's the hope that we have pertaining to his heavenly kingdom. Now, right now, we still struggle with this old flesh. That's why we find ourselves disappointed and find ourselves frustrated on a daily basis. And that's why we still struggle with sin. We still have these old bodies of death that we carry about. Now, we understand from God's word that we have been saved from our sins. We've been saved from the the penalties of sin because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we've been delivered from the power of sin. It's no longer the dominating force in our lives. But the reality is right now we are still fighting the presence of sin because of this flesh. But I'm thankful, brothers and sisters, when we close our eyes in death, or if we're privileged to be here when the Lord returns, we're going to be called up into His heavenly kingdom. He is the one that preserves us unto His heavenly kingdom, and we look forward to that coming day. Praise be to God, we have that encouragement in the challenging times that we live in today. I think of one other passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Again, Paul is encouraging those that had been discouraged by their circumstances. They had been troubled by the difficulties that they were encountering in this world. As he writes his concluding remarks to those that made up the churches at Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, he says this. He says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Aren't you thankful, my friends? That's the God that we serve. We serve the God of peace. A lot of the change that we see in our world is change that brings turmoil, change that brings tribulations, change that brings chaos. But we have the God of peace, and Paul's prayer here was to these children of God a prayer that was to remind them and turn their minds back to the truths of God's Word. And the reality is that we do serve the God of peace that will sanctify us. We do serve the wonderful God that indeed preserves us. Our spirit and our soul and our body will be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My friends, right now we have a new nature because of the work of the Spirit in our lives. In regeneration, we are made new creatures. And in these bodies, my friends, we struggle. The reality is we have difficulties. The older we get, we struggle with the physical limitations of these bodies. We struggle with this flesh that sins against God, that we try to fight and we struggle with, but many times leaves us disappointed. Well, preservation says here that our Lord is going to preserve us blameless unto His coming. Praise be to God for this wonderful truth. Well, you may ask the question then, well, what does that mean for us as God's people as far as good works? What does that mean as far as persevering in the faith? I want to tell you this morning, my friends, that we should indeed be persevering in the faith. But the end of persevering in the faith is not to save us eternally, but to bring glory and honor to our God and to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My friends, God's grace is not a license for us to sin. In fact, as born-again children of God, we should hate and despise sin and should strive to be living a life of godliness in this world. And the Word of God teaches us that as God's people, we're to make our calling and our election sure. It doesn't say good works secures our calling and our election, but perseverance is really this. It's really us living out the truth of us being preserved in Christ Jesus. So we should, as the Word of God teaches us, lay hold on eternal life. In fact, that's what Paul told the young minister Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 to do, to lay hold on eternal life. He would tell the Hebrew brethren to lay hold on the hope that's set before us. But you see here, Paul's not saying that we're to lay hold on eternal life in order to be saved, in order to be delivered, in order to someday end up being in heaven. We lay hold on these truths that have already happened because of the work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And here's the truth of the gospel. We shall abide in Him. Abide in the one that has saved us. But we understand that God is the one that preserves His people. He's the one that keeps us. This doctrine of preservation is a divine decree, not assured or guaranteed by our works, but it's guaranteed by God. Now, perseverance is where our efforts come in as a child of God. We are called to live lives of disciples. And perseverance, it requires us as God's people to strive to honor His Word, to strive to live according to His standards. And that's what we're to be engaged in. Again, it's resultant of the work of the Spirit of God in our lives and a firm understanding of the truth that we are indeed secured in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, when I was a young child, this false idea that we had something to do in order to save ourselves, it was very frightening. But I'm thankful I wasn't left there a long time. I'm thankful that I had diligent people in my life and family in my life that reminded me, no, it is not of my works, but the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My friends, we serve a faithful God. We sing a hymn periodically in our church that's titled, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And the lyrics of that hymn, they so speak to the wonderful God that we serve. The hymn writer says, Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. The next stanza says, Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. And finally, we have the last stanza of that hymn that says, Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000s beside. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. We serve a faithful God, my friends, that has indeed laid down His life for our sins, and He preserves us even to this day until the coming of the Lord. I pray that this has been of some encouragement. I pray that this motivates you to serve the Lord, and I encourage you to seek out this truth. And again, I want to invite you to come and be with us at McClinney Primitive Baptist Church. Again, we meet every Sunday morning at 10:30. I pray that the Lord will bless you this day. I pray that you will have that peace that passes all understanding in our Lord. May God richly bless you is my prayer.
As we bid you farewell today, please remember to tune in next week to this channel at the same time for the Gospel of Grace broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClinney Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclinneypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Please pray for us. And until next week, may the Lord richly bless you all is our prayer.